Okay, we're talking about the games.
Last week I went to a park where it's a little further east of Commerce City that I usually go to. God sent me there because I haven't been there for a while. And just
does that park have a name?
Yeah, I guess it does. I just never seen it.
Okay,
Even look. But I got there and two gangs were talking to each other. There was no weapons drawn. There was no bats or anything. They were just talking.
And were their cars all same place?
Same place and everything. And then I was like, I wonder what they're talking about. So I pulled up and I knew one of the gang, but I didn't know the other. And one of the gang's name is, his name is Carlos. And he saw me and he goes, "There's Sonny. He's, that dude always has food, man. Let's go to him." And then they were facing each other talking and all of a sudden they saw me. And then all of them started walking towards me. And I figured these guys are hungry, you know. And when I got there, and they started getting closer, I said, "Hey, I need 3 volunteers, man." And they're like, "I'm here, I'll do it. What do you want me to do?" I said, "Can you get him back in my truck and get all the coolers towards the tailgate?" "Yeah, man." So they jumped up there and brought the coolers up. And then we put them on the picnic tables. And I go, "It's really nice to see two gangs talking to each other instead of fighting each other." And they said, "Well, we kind of have some questions, man. Like," excuse me, they said, "What does the Holy Spirit mean?" And they said, "We normally don't come to this park. We usually go to that other one, but there was already gangs over there. So we thought we'd come over here. It's a little more quieter. Well, we're hoping you'd come over here." I said, "Well, God brought me over here." And he goes, "I love the way God talks to you, man. Like, I want to hear his voice." I said, "You got to have him in your heart first, man." He goes, "Tell me about the Holy Spirit, man. What does that mean?" That opened up a huge door, man. I said, "Because it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." I said, "The Holy Spirit came when Jesus was crucified and he rose again in 3 days. Then his spirit could go in us. But we got to ask him. We got to ask him to come in our hearts and get baptized in the name of the Holy Spirit." And he goes, "So he lives inside of us if we ask him to?" And I go, "Yeah, man. He'll help you. He'll transform your heart and just really transform your life." And he goes, "My heart's pretty broken, man. I don't know if he wants to be in there." So that we talked about the Holy Spirit for about an hour and a half.
Oh, wow.
About what he does, what he could do to you, why he is the Holy Spirit. And the one young man said, "You said he'll transform my heart? Because my heart's pretty broken, man. Like, I could use a new heart." And then he goes, "You remember in the movie Wizard of Oz how the you know, one of them wanted a heart, you know?" And I said, "Yeah, man." He goes, "I want to go home, but I don't want to go home if my dad's still a drunk, you know?" And I said, "Well, why don't we call your dad and talk to him?" He goes, "I haven't talked to my dad for a year and a half, man." I said, "You don't know what's happened in a year and a half, man. Have you talked to your mom?" "Only on her birthday and on Mother's Day and Christmas." I'm like, "She's never said anything about what's going on with your dad." And he goes, "No, because I kind of ignore that talk, you know?" I kind of don't want to talk about it. And then he says, you know what? Let's call my dad. Let's see what's going on. So then he said, will you stand beside me? Well, when he called his dad, all the other boys from both gangs surrounded him because they wanted to hear too. They wanted to see what was going on. And then he says, I'll put it in speaker, man. So he put it in speaker, and his dad goes, hi, son, are you okay? How are you doing? Like, he asked him, like, three questions, like, really fast. Mm-hmm. He goes, Dad, I'm doing good. I was calling to see how you were doing, and I'm thinking of coming home, but I don't want to come home if you're going to still beat me up because I know how to fight now. He goes, I don't want to go home if you're still drinking. He goes, I haven't drank for a whole year. I got the help I needed. I got counseling, and I'm still going to counseling. He said, I'm a Christian man. I love God. Me and Mom help at the church. I'm the Sunday school driver. I pick up all the kids before church. And he goes, I love the Lord, son. Please forgive me for everything I've done. And that young man, just, you could see his tears just coming down his face. And then he walked away because he wanted to keep talking to his dad, but kind of in private, you know? Mm-hmm. So when he came back, he goes, my mom and dad are coming to pick me up. I'm going to go home. But he goes, Sonny, I don't want to go home with a broken heart. I want a transformed heart, man. When he gave his heart to Jesus, man, that kid just cried and cried and cried. And the other boys saw that. But when he walked away with the phone and kept talking to his dad, all these other boys just started walking away. And they were calling their parents. They were calling their dad to see if they were still a drug addict or if he was still an alcoholic. Because why would you want to go home to get abused again, to get beat up? Because these boys, they're fighters. Like, they're not the boys that left that house. Mm. I mean, they learned how to fight. They weren't going to take that anymore. But they didn't want to go to a house that was broken, you know? So then pretty soon, one by one, these boys started coming back. Like, my dad's not an alcoholic, man. I talked to my mom, too. She said that he hasn't touched any liquor since you ran away. He goes, Sonny, I want to transform heart, too, man. So here's these two gangs talking and couldn't wait till they see me. So they could ask me questions about the Holy Spirit, about forgiveness, and then how to have a transformed heart. Because I've been witnessing to these gangs for about a year, about 3 months. So, but the other gang I didn't know at all. But see, these gangs knew each other.
Mm.
So they asked all the right questions because their hearts were ready.
Mm.
And when they started giving their hearts to Jesus, and majority of them waited until their parents got there so they could give their hearts to God in front of them instead of by themselves, you know. They wanted to show their parents that this is real, it's not a game. So when finally all the parents got there, then I said, those of you that know Jesus and have Jesus in your heart, I said, raise your hand. And those of you that want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, come over here. Man, before I knew it, there was like 100, and I think Joshua was the other leader. He counted 182 people there. And most of them were Christians, but some of them weren't. Only three dads out of all those two gangs weren't Christians. But they had given up all their drinking and drugs because they lost their son, you know. He ran away. So just to see them interact with their parents, and then when they came forward and asked for forgiveness of all their sins, and then asked Jesus come in their hearts. And I didn't have a pond there or a lake to baptize them, so I just poured water over them and baptized them. Gave them Bibles, and they just cried and cried and cried. I've never seen dads and sons hug so much. Because, you know, through all the years of ministering to these gangs, not one son ran away because of the mom.
Yeah.
Not one. It was all because of the dads. Because the dads, alcoholics or druggies or both. You know, it's just like they've been abused and they were hurting the boys with not only words, but with their fist. And these boys had enough, so they would run away. And then who accepts them? A gang. Mm-hmm. They bring them in, try to show, you know, that they care about them, just so they could use them so they could sell drugs and stuff, you know. So that's how they make a living. That's just the way it is. But to see all these boys, when I first saw them, they all looked tough with all the tattoos and the weapons, and they just, their faces looked mean. And then as soon as they give their hearts to Jesus, it's like little boys again. Like, their whole face changes. Like, they're just, God
radiating
overwhelmed.
Joy.
Oh, amen. Yeah, that's it. That's a good way to put it. And these boys, I've been talking to them all week. And a lot of the aunts and the parents are helping them get their GEDs done online. And they started that, so.
You ever notice that God won't release the gangs until he has their parents all taken care of?
That's 100%, because that's what's been happening.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't had one phone call with a dad to say, hey man, I'm still an alcoholic.
Yeah.
You know, I'm struggling with that. I haven't had, not one.
Yeah.
Even the ones from Chicago, New York, New Jersey, like, all of them have quit, like they stopped doing that because they lost their son or their daughters to gangs, you know? And then, like, last Sunday afternoon, this boy, I pulled up to this park by Commerce City, and some of these boys' t-shirts, their white t-shirts, were red. They had gotten a big fight with another gang that I didn't know. I don't know.
Was this another gang that you're talking about?
This is a different gang. And so I pulled up on them, and they're trying to wipe and get cleaned up, you know, because they were, some were cut. A couple of them were kind of deep cuts. And so I took out my first aid kit and I gave them some wipes so they could clean themselves up, and then all I heard, Lucy lives across the street, and she's 9 years old. She lives across the street from the park, and she wants to be a nurse. The second time she showed up with Band-Aids, she has a whole uniform. She looks like a nurse, you know, she has the gown, all that stuff. She showed up with her little wagon, with her little bag, which is a pretty good sized bag.
Entirely different gang than the last one. Oh, yeah.
This is a whole different gang. And she came up and she goes, I was playing in my front yard and I could tell that you guys have gotten in a fight because all your shirts are all red. So I brought some cleaning stuff. I want to clean you guys up and put Band-Aids on you. And all the boys were looking at her, and they kept looking at me. I said, she's just going to help you out. So I said, just let her do it, man. And they're
didn't you tell her, you're not the first gang that she's done this to?
I said, this is the second gang. She's actually doctored. So just let her take care of you. So, and then she goes, can you guys get her in a line, and then I'll take care of all of you one at a time. So she laid out her little bag with her butterfly band-aids and regular band-aid and all her cleaning stuff. And then she put on gloves on and she put her mask on. And then she only had it on for about a minute, and then she threw it on the ground.
Yeah. Like,
she's like, forget that. And then every boy stepped up to her, and she'd go, where did you get hurt? Well, right here in my arm, I got cut. So she gave him a little sucker, because she goes, this orange medicine that I'm gonna put on there, it's gonna sting and it's gonna burn, but it's to prevent infection. So she had her little gog stuff and dipped it in that little bottle and was wiping down their owies and cleaning them up. And you can tell it hurt the boys because their arms kind of twitched, yeah. You know? So then after it would kind of dry up a little bit, she put a band-aid on. But as she was doing that, she was praying over them out loud.
Yeah.
And then she would tell them, now, boys, you have to take two showers a day. One in the morning and one at night, because that way you stay clean. Because some of you, your ears are dirty, behind your ears are dirty, so I have to clean those up. So she'd get the little wipes, she'd clean behind their ears, and the boys would just stand there. They just let her do whatever she wanted to do with them. She's not only doctoring them, she was ministering to them. And you know what? Every single boy that came up to her, she would hug him. And she'd tell him, you're going to be okay. God will take care of your owies. And she would doctor him. But I noticed as these boys were getting their band-aids on and getting cleaned up and walking away, they started getting on their phones. And I started walking around praying with those boys. And I noticed that they were calling their families. Because all of those boys had sisters.
Mm-hmm.
They had little brothers. And made them think about, what are my little brothers doing now? Or my little sister,
yeah.
You know? And pretty soon, she got done with all of them. And I said, hey, before you leave, I have something in my truck for you. She goes, okay. So then she came and inspected me, make sure I wasn't hurt. And she goes, I got all of them doctored up and they're all cleaned up and it's time for me to go now. And I said, well, thanks for coming and taking care of these boys. She goes, they're God's children. They need to be doctored, you know? She just wants to be a nurse so bad. And she's 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
She's gonna be 10 in July.
Yeah.
So she hugged me, gave me a sucker, and I said, well, let's go to the truck because I have something for you. So I went to Walmart and bought a box that had band-aids from that have Snoopy on and Winnie the Pooh and just different, you know, characters on the band-aids. So I bought a whole box for her. I don't know how many were in there. I can't remember. But I said, you can put this on your wagon and take it. That way you don't run out of band-aids. She goes, thank you so much. That's so sweet. And she hugged me and then gave me a bag of cookies. And she goes, this was really fun. But I was scared the whole time. She could see the pistols.
Yeah.
She knows.
Yeah.
She knows these are gangs that could hurt.
Yeah.
Each other or hurt us. But she goes, I come in the name of Jesus. They come and I face them with weapons like David and Goliath. She said, Goliath had all these weapons, but David had the Bible, the Word of God, and 5 stones. But I didn't bring any stones. I just brought band-aids.
Yeah.
But she ministered to these gangs. Like,
yeah.
She's just amazing. This gang was so blessed that they all called their parent. And pretty soon, all these families started showing up. And the leader said, you know what? That little girl is about the same age as my youngest sister. I haven't seen her for 3 years.
Exactly what the other gang leader said.
Yeah, and he said, it made me think about, I wonder what she's like right now. I'm missing out and all of that. You know, this is not worth it to me. And he told all his boys, I'm going home. I'm going to make sure my dad is not mean anymore. And if he's not, I'm going home. And then all the boys said, you know what? I already called my parents and they're coming. And so they already, that little girl touched them so much.
Mm-hmm.
It was through the Holy Spirit, you know, of course. But she touched their hearts. And they started thinking about their families. That was just...
You know what the Bible says? A little child shall leave them.
Amen.